If you have your Bibles, open your Bibles. Today, why don't you open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Because before we dig this morning into John chapter 11, first I want to introduce us to two sisters that we find in the New Testament, Mary and Martha. These two sisters lived in a small town called Bethany. The city is located in the southern kingdom of Israel called Judea. If you were to look on a map, there's Galilee, then in between there's Samaria, and then there's Judea. And so Mary and Martha lived in a small town located in the south kingdom near Jerusalem in Judea. The town is located about 2 miles east of Jerusalem on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. And as you probably already know, the Mount of Olives was a very popular place that Jesus would travel and go to many, many times in his ministry. It was on the Mount of Olives that Jesus gave his Olivet Discourse when they asked about the temple, when the temple would be destroyed, when the Great Tribulation would take place. That was on the Mount of Olives. And we see that in Matthew 24. Also during when Jesus hit his triumphant entry, his Palm Sunday, when he came in Jerusalem, before he came into Jerusalem, he was on the Mount of Olives and he began to weep over Jerusalem because they were rejecting the Messiah. Also, when Jesus would take his disciples many times to a garden called the Garden of Gethsemane, that was located on the western slope of the Mount of Olives. And also, when Jesus ascended into the heaven before his disciples, when he was taken up and they were just caught in awe looking to heaven, and the angel said, "Hey, what are you looking at? What are you looking for?" In the same way he left, he'll come. That was on the Mount of Olives. So it was on the east slope of the Mount of Olives that the small town of Bethany was located, the town of Mary and Martha. But we're first introduced to these sisters in Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Luke 10, 38. Let me read this section to you. Mary and Martha. Luke 10, beginning in verse 38. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." So we're now introduced to two sisters. Let's begin with Martha. Jesus enters Bethany, and it says that Martha welcomes him into her house. Hospitable, hard-working Martha. Martha is not the type of woman who just sits around. She is a woman of action. When she sees something that needs to be done, she does it. Do you know anyone here or anyone you know like Martha? Who never stops working? Who's always there, always working, and never seems to stop? We may know people like that. Martha was like that. Because even if you jump from Luke 10 to John chapter 12, there was another time when Jesus was in the house in this house, and it said, for supper, and in that house it said, Martha served. She was a servant, and she worked really hard. She loved to serve. But also we discover from this passage in Luke chapter 10 about Martha, even though she had the gift at serving, it was a great strength, but at times it could be a great weakness. Even though she was strong and she loved to serve, sometimes our greatest strength can sometimes be one of our greatest weaknesses. Because if we see the picture of what happened, Jesus was in the house, Martha is serving. I don't know if it was a meal or whatever, but she's serving. And then you see Jesus sitting there. He's sitting down as a rabbi would do. He would sit, and as he sat, he was teaching. And Mary is sitting there at the feet of Jesus, listening to his teaching. And Martha is distracted with much serving. She's caught up in busyness. She's serving. She's getting things ready. Maybe something's not cooking right. Maybe something, she needs some more food. I don't know. But she's distracted from much serving. And it even comes to the point where she ends up getting angry at Jesus and her sister and coming to Jesus and Jesus, do you not care that my sister's left me? Tell her to come help me. Tell her, come help me. She was distracted. And what were the results of her distractions? That in the midst of her serving, she was missing the words of Jesus. And ultimately, like I said, she got angry at Jesus. Jesus, don't you care? Does this ever happen to you? Maybe you get busy serving, if it's your job or activities and busyness and so on, and you miss the words of Jesus. Because he wants to speak to us. But we're distracted with much serving. Even sometimes in doing for the kingdom of God, we get busy and we lose and we don't hear and we get distracted from hearing the words of our Lord. And sometimes even in the midst of our serving, we tend to want to drag others into the chaos of our life. Oh, you need to be doing more. You need to be doing this. Yet, just like Martha wanted to pull Mary into her distractions, sometimes we do the same things with others. You know, there are times and seasons that we must set aside some of the things that need to be done, so that we could take time with Jesus and listen to his words. Are you listening to the words of Jesus, or are you distracted with much serving? So as we see in this passage, we get a glimpse, a small glimpse into Martha. Now we come to Mary. Probably one of my favorite females of the New Testament for sure. Hands down for me. The sister who loved to be at the feet of Jesus. And we see in the New Testament three times this same Mary at the feet of Jesus. We see her here in Luke 10 as she's sitting at the feet of Jesus listening to his every word. We also see in John 11, which we're talking about today, we'll begin today, John 11, where Mary, in her grief at losing her brother Lazarus, falls down at the feet of Jesus. And then the third time, one day they're having dinner, and she comes into the house and takes this oil, and she breaks it open, and she gets down, and she wipes it into Jesus' feet, and then takes her hair begins to dry off the lotion. Worship of her Lord. She loved to be at the feet of Jesus. And we'll be teaching on that coming up. But if we go to Luke 10 here, Mary is not, when she's sitting at the feet of Jesus, she's not being lazy and just doesn't care about the things that need to be done. But she loves and hungers for the words of Jesus. Because I really think if she was just being lazy, Jesus would have said, hey, get up. Get up, Mary. Go help Martha. But instead, Jesus defends her heart, her desire to listen to her word. And looks at Martha and goes, Martha, Martha, you are troubled and worried about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good thing, and it will not be taken away from her. Oh, he did not want Mary to go help Martha. Mary was just at the place he wanted her to be. She hungers for the word of Jesus. And he's protective of her love for his words, her love for him. Are you like Mary this morning? Do you hunger and yearn for the words of Jesus? Or are you like Martha? Are you distracted with much serving? Maybe you see right now when you look into your life, you don't see any hunger for Jesus. Ask him. Stir a hunger for you in my heart. Stir a hunger. Or maybe you've been serving and you've lost sight. And just like to the church of Ephesus, Jesus is calling you back to himself to be your first love. These many times, even things that may be okay in themselves, we place before him. And he wants to be our first love. He wants to be our first passion. Are you like Mary? Or are you like Martha? Must you give up things to start spending more time with Jesus? Or maybe you have no hunger and you need to be like Mary. So here we've been introduced now to two sisters, Mary and Martha. We see some differences between them, some strengths and a weakness. Now, if you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And as we just begin through part of the story this morning, not the entire story, there's so much we can get from this passage. But let us begin in John chapter 11, beginning in verse 1. Let me read. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, but because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. And the disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so you may believe, but let us go to him. So Thomas called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Now in verse 1 of this passage, we are now introduced to Lazarus of Bethany, the brother of Mary and Martha. We don't know much about him. We will get to know him a little bit more in the next couple chapters. But we do know at this point, Lazarus, their brother, is ill with a sickness. For some reason, the illness is not going away. It is alarming to the sisters. So they decide, what do we do? Oh, we will send a message to Jesus. A very interesting message. Jesus, he whom you love is ill. What a message that Jesus would receive. I don't know how they got the message to him, but he got the message. And we see in the message, we see their hope. We see their desire. You see it screaming into your ears. They're wanting Jesus to hear, to come quickly and help their brother. They want him to come and help their brother. He's not getting better. And so they send this signal, this distress signal and message to Jesus. And what does Jesus do when he hears this urgent message of the one that you love? Because they knew that Jesus loved Lazarus, but what does Jesus do? He stays 2 more days in the place where he was. At this point, he's probably either in Galilee or Samaria, but he does not rush down to the sister's urgent request. He stays 2 days longer. Hey, I thought Jesus loved Lazarus. I mean, if he did, would he not have rushed down immediately to help? But it's very interesting that John in verse 5 clarifies. Jesus doesn't only love Lazarus, but he loves them all. Because we see in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. And you see that Jesus did not just rush down there, but he waited. Even though he loved them all, not only Lazarus. But Jesus had a plan that they did not see. They didn't know it. They didn't know what was going on. We see in verse 4, he says, "This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." So yes, Jesus loved them. Yes, he had a plan. He was in control. He knew what he was going to do. He knew, but they didn't know. So then what happened? After 2 days have passed, 2 days have gone by, we see Jesus saying, "Hey, it's time, let's go back down to Judea now. Let's go back down there." And he says to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." Isn't it so interesting that Jesus looked at death as just sleep? The idea, I mean, you think about it, we just fall asleep, and then when we die, it's like falling asleep, and then we wake up into eternity. But hey, Lazarus had fallen asleep, and the disciples at this point are confused, because you ever see someone that's really sick, a child or an adult that's sick, and you have a high fever? Sleep is not very easy. It's difficult, and it's really difficult if you're the parents of the children, because they cry all night or they throw up and all these things happen, and you're tired and you can't get sleep because of the fever. But when you see them and the fever's starting to go down, and they just fall asleep. And so the disciples are thinking, "Hey, why are you going down to awaken him? He's asleep. Doesn't that mean he's recovering?" But then Jesus says plainly to them, "Our friend has died." And I'm glad I wasn't there so you'd see what I'm going to do. I wonder if Jesus was there in the humanity and love of Christ, if he will let Lazarus die. I wonder, maybe Jesus in his humanity, "No, hey, I'm not going to go down to Lazarus right now. I know God, I know we have a plan. I'm going to do something." Because if he would have went down, maybe he would say, "Hey," and would have touched Lazarus. But he had a plan for Lazarus. He had a plan to do something for the glory of God, for the glory of himself. But could you imagine the disciples? Because in that passage, several places, he goes, "Oh, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep." And now he said, "Our friend, he's dead." He's been to Bethany I don't know how many times. They've gotten to know this family. His family has let them into their home, and now he's telling them, our friend's dead. You ever wonder what went through their mind? He's dead. Well, maybe Jesus, if he would have went down there, maybe Lazarus wouldn't have died. Why didn't he rush down to help our friend? I wonder what went through their mind at this point. Could you imagine their response and their sadness of losing a friend? Can you imagine the disappointment of the sisters? Jesus never came. Lazarus, our brother's now dead. And now they are working through their grief of losing a loved one. But yes, Jesus loved them. And they will see it soon. But until this happened, they were lost in their disappointment. Their brother died. Jesus didn't stop this from happening. Jesus didn't come in time. You wonder at the questions as they were dealing with their grief. Why didn't Jesus come through? Why didn't he help us? Did he get the message? Did he not get it in time? If he did, why didn't he come? Where is he? Did they, when they sent the message, they think, okay, it'll take a couple days to get up there. Jesus will get back, no problem. And I wonder if they're waiting. If Mary or Martha's sitting up walking and listening, looking out the window, waiting for Jesus to come, and their brother's getting worse and worse and worse, and he ends up dying, and Jesus never came, never answered their request. You can imagine the disappointment. The disappointment with Jesus. The disappointment with God. Why? Why did you allow this to happen to our brother? I thought you loved him. You wonder what went through their minds. Have you ever struggled with disappointment with God? Maybe you've been asking for things, asking the Lord for things, and at this point he has not answered your prayer. Or maybe you've asked him for things and he hasn't answered it the way you wanted him to answer it. So you are disappointed with him, with God. Or maybe you're disappointed with God about your life. Your marriage hasn't been maybe what you've expected it to be. Maybe it's falling apart, or it's just been dang too difficult. Or maybe you've lost a spouse to death and you really just didn't plan for this. Or maybe you've lost a child or loved one and you don't understand why. Why would you do this to me, God? Why would you allow this to happen in my life? Why? You know, it's not wrong to be disappointed at times with God. He knows your hurt and pain. He knows the struggles and the disappointment already. I mean, does he want us to pretend that everything is okay? Don't you think at times he allows us to break down and cry, oh God, I'm disappointed in you. Disappointed in you. I don't think we need to fear disappointment. God knows. He knows the pain. He's there. Even though you may not feel him, he knows. And sometimes he just allows us to come and weep on his shoulder in a sense. And pour out our grief. Because he's a personal God and wants to know us. And he wants to walk hand by hand with us through it. You know, disappointment is very tough. I think all of us in some way dealt with different levels of disappointment. I know my wife and I were disappointed when, as you can imagine, when my wife first became pregnant. And as you, if you know me, you imagine I didn't tell anybody that she was pregnant, right? I told everybody, my wife's pregnant, woo! And we prayed every night. We pray for our child. And then to discover that she had a miscarriage. Why, God, we prayed for this child. Why would you do that? And the questions come. Some questions never answered. And you wonder the words of Paul that says, "For I consider that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be with the glory that should be revealed in us." That maybe, I cannot say this morning, that you may even get know your answer. But when we come before the King of the universe, when we come before our Creator, things will be in His presence. So we don't need to fear disappointment. What we need to be careful of, though, is that when we are weak in our disappointment, in our authenticity with God and how we're feeling and struggling, that the devil wants us to turn from this disappointment to unbelief. That's the danger of disappointment. The devil wants to come in our weakness. And he wants us to question, does God really love me? Does God really have a plan for my life? Is God even there? Does God even exist? And he wants us to doubt his love. And if he get us to the place of even doubting his very existence in the midst of our grief. If you are struggling this morning with disappointment, I want you to know that God still loves you. He still has a plan for your life, for your family, for your spouse, for a friend, for yourself. He is not finished with you. Cling to his love. Hold firm to his promises. Keep the faith. Hold on. Hold on. See, Mary and Martha struggled with disappointment because they didn't see the whole picture. They didn't see God's plan. And next week, we will see it unravel for these two sisters. But what about us here and now? Yes, God has a plan. He has an inward work of the Spirit in our lives. He wants to do a deeper work for the glory of God in our lives. At the moment, you may not see it, but ultimately, God will not disappoint you. I just think of years ago when my wife and I were newlyweds. We just started going to a church called Clay House Church in Colorado Springs. That was a church we came from to come here. And we got to know the youth pastor and his wife. And his youth pastor was a normal youth pastor guy. Man, his name is Jeff. Man, he was just a normal, outgoing, great guy. And then there's Renee over here. I don't know how to describe Renee at that point. We're sitting there. I think I'm here. My wife's here, and I think Jeff's there, and there's Renee, and she's kind of her head's down, and she's kind of socially awkward. He's outgoing youth pastor, she's socially awkward wife. And she'd say some stuff, but kind of her head would be down, just kind of odd. Well, when we were there, and we were there not very long, all of a sudden we hear some news that Jeff has went up on the mount, one of the mountains in Colorado, and an avalanche came down and killed him. So the leaders in the church, you had three pastors at that point, they gather, they find out the news, and they come and they knock, bam, bam, onto the door of this youth pastor's wife. And obviously, when she heard the news, she goes, no, 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 and she goes running up and she closes herself into her closet. weeping and crying. I'll tell you, she came into a season of disappointment. She kept on the phone, you know, the answering machine, she kept his voice there. She kept the clothes of his in her closet so she could smell them and remember him. And she went through a dark season, as some call it, the dark season of the soul, of the disappointment, the wrestling of what's going on. And we didn't see her too much after that scene. We'd see her on and off, and she'd come to church, and we didn't really know them well. As time passed, she didn't go from the disappointment into the unbelief. Now, I don't know if she maybe went into that at a season, had to work it out. I don't know. But sometimes we could go from disappointment and get in unbelief, and we come out of it. But what happened is something changed as she started to struggle through her grief. And all of a sudden, Renee, this little awkward girl that didn't know how to act with people, started becoming a confident girl. That when we have her over into our home, we had her over, and she told us about some of her journey and things she was working through in this death. And she just could smile, and she became much more of a beautiful person. I don't know why God allows some things to happen or not. He's God, and he's sovereign. But he had a plan for Renee. And she ended up telling us as she was going off, she met this guy. Several years later, met this guy. She was wanting to do some things with serving the Lord. She was serving the Lord, and she met this great guy and ended up getting married. We don't know everything, but God in her life, but she became beautiful. God had a plan. Maybe God just wanted Jeff. It was time for Jeff. Better off for Jeff anyway. For her, it was grief. But God had a plan, and it made it beautiful in her life. But even now, you may be here this morning, and you say, I am in the valley of disappointment. Or maybe I am in the valley. I have fallen into unbelief. Listen to the word of God this morning. Listen to these passages of God's word. Let them seep into your heart. Listen to what God wants to say to you, to me this morning. Listen. Psalm 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Psalm 34, verses 18 and 19. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. If we have the worship team come forward. Psalm 147:3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Isaiah 57:15. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. And Hebrews 3, verses 12 to 13 says, take care, brothers, lest there be in you an evil heart, unbelieving heart, an evil heart, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And then Hebrews 4, verses 15 to 16 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every aspect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then come with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And the last verse is Hebrews 11, the beginning of verse 5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hear the words of the Lord. I'm going to ask something bold this morning. Maybe you are struggling with disappointment in your life. If you are struggling with disappointment this morning, I ask that you stand up so that we as a body of Christ can see what we can pray for. But you, when you stand up, you're saying this: God, I am disappointed in you. God, I need your help. If you this morning are disappointed in God, I ask as we worship the song that you stand up and say, that is me. God, I'm disappointed. I need your help.